Welcome to Animateez, a retro anime review comedy podcast. Join our resident anime nerd Mackenzie and anime noob Lindsay as they delve into their VHS vault and review the best and worst of what the 80s and 90s had to offer. These episodes contain spoilers and adult language, so stick around if you're cool like that.
Hello, 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 and welcome to your favorite weekly anime podcast, Animateez. I hope you're ready because this week it is my choice of show. Mackenzie, let me ask you this. Are you excited to tap into High School Lindsay for this week?
That is scary for me because I know current Lindsay and I know High School Lindsay from stories, and I don't know if I'm about to watch like a church anime or or what.
I know.
Here's my guess real quick.
Okay, I'm so excited. Hit me with your guess.
It's gonna be a music anime.
Ooh. About
a pop punk band that is playing in their church's upcoming Battle of the Bands.
Oh my gosh, that was literally my youth group when I was younger. Not quite. Okay. But I mean, there will be a reference to my love of J-Rock in this episode.
Are we watching Puffy AmiYumi?
Oh my gosh. Hi, Puffy AmiYumi. I know. I have thought about using that on the show, but it was like 2004. So as much as I love Hi, Puffy AmiYumi, I cannot. Story of my life for most of the shows that I loved. But not this one. Yeah, we're going to go back to my high school ego, I guess. I don't know. Not an alter ego?
Okay.
I don't know. We're gonna learn some stuff. We're gonna learn about the duality of Lindsay. Because, you know, we did like last week with like the creepy occult, you know, kind of vampire-y demon stuff, which is like super sick and I love it. But this week we're gonna tap into the like fashionable side of me, I guess. And my love of like art and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be watching Neighborhood Stories from 1995. So
Stories.
Yes, I'm very excited. But it was a show that was based off of a manga written by Ai Yazawa, who, as you know.
I don't know any of this.
She wrote some really cool stuff that I was into when I was younger. So she wrote Nana, which really great series.
No idea.
I think, yeah, 2005. So we can't watch it for this. So haha, you'll never find out. No. So she wrote Nana. And then she also wrote Last Quarter, which is hilarious because I own that DVD still. This like weird Japanese knockoff of this like love story of this girl who falls in love with like a ghost. Who's played by none other than La Arc-en-Ciel singer Hyde. Huge crush on him growing up. We can talk all about my J-Rock love in another time. Okay, so the basic synopsis is Mikako, she's a 16-year-old girl who goes to art school because she wants to become a famous like fashion designer with her own clothing brand.
Okay.
So she's attending the school with her friend Tomatsu, who is also her neighbor. So they've known each other since infancy. And basically, like, everybody around them interprets their closeness and constant bickering as, like, sounds of their budding love for each other. Both of them deny it. And so it's kind of them trying to understand their relationship because they can only kind of really see each other as only friends. But it's kind of like, it's a really cool story about love and trying to figure out that kind of stuff. So, and different kinds of relationships and what that means. So it's very artsy. It's all about learning different styles of relationship, and it's just really cute. I wanted to bring some cuteness to the show for once.
You mean demons and war and...
There is no occult anything in the show.
There's no war?
No.
There's no blood and guts?
The only war is like teenagers bickering. It's going to bring you back to high school, maybe?
You in high school. Definitely not me. I had a 2-foot tall mohawk and leopard print pants in high school. This
was true. I was a cheerleader.
Oh boy. Well, yep. I'm excited to delve into this other part of your childhood alter ego.
Perfect. Go watch at least, it right now. Hey, you know what? I demand you.
Before I go to watch it, I will say you didn't become a vampire in your adult years, but you do work in fashion. So one of your alter egos at least was able to come to the surface.
It is true. It is true. So.
And if I ever come across a vampire, I'll send them your way.
Please do. I want one so bad. I will give the caveat. This is the animation in this show. Like the style of it is very different than what we're used to. And like that kind of traditional anime look. But I really like it. It kind of feels like almost like an indie like comic book or something like that. I just feel like there's a lot of like cool texture and stuff that like definitely reminded me of the stuff that I was drawing back in high school when I briefly thought I was going to be a comic book illustrator.
Okay, so I'm watching a coming of age story.
Yeah, it's kind of like a slice of life coming of age.
Interesting.
So originally the series ran for 50 episodes, but we're just going to watch the first three.
Gojinko Monogatari.
That is the Japanese title that I could not say.
I mean, it looks fantastic just from what I'm looking at one image. And I see a punk rock. I see a goth chick. I see your preppy chick. I am intrigued by how these characters look. And I'm excited to find out what happens between the goth girl and the jock boy, because that feels like the love interest will be that. It's that or it's going to be the preppy girl and the punk boy. And we're going to have an Avril Lavigne skater boy scenario here. I'm a little excited. It's an animation style I'm not super used to, but it looks fun.
I think you're in for a cute time. All right. Well, you have your predictions and I'm excited to hear your reactions. It'll be fun. So let's go watch the first three episodes and we'll be right back.
Onwards to Fashion Town.
Yes. All right. And just like low rise jeans, we are back. So.
Ooh.
Whether you like it or not.
I mean, speaking of liking it or not.
Yeah. How'd you feel?
I think it resembles the teenage experience pretty accurately. It's like the flood of untamed emotions and misplaced anger. Just like silly little things that you do that no one's going to tell you not to do. It's your thing. Shut up. Which is not a bad thing, of course. I actually thought that the series was quite hilarious. I thought the characters were funny. The music is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. The music is
animation,
amazing.
The animation is fun. It makes me think of like anime Daria.
That's what I thought too. Okay, so I'm glad we both kind of caught on to that. I was trying to figure out how to explain how it made me feel. But yeah, it made me think of like Daria or Pepper Ann or like those 90s cartoons.
Yeah, it's so 90s it hurts in a good way.
Yeah.
It is rough though. It is rough, however, at times. It kind of took a bit of the charm away from some of the manga I looked at. Just like, even the way some parts of it were animated, oftentimes the manga's better. Quite often that is what ends up happening.
Oh yeah, that's for anything though. The book is always better normally.
Yeah. So like, it's a great slice of life romance story. As an adult, I got frustrated because the silly issues could have easily been solved with simple conversation.
Right. Communication. That's what you have to learn is just communication.
I definitely do not miss the unfiltered emotions of it being a teenager.
Right? I was like, wow, I'm so happy my emotions have kind of balanced out and I can kind of rationally look at things now.
Watching this series, there's a couple of moments where it like shot me back to being a teenager and I was like, man, that was a dumb thing I did. Fuck, I haven't thought about that in a few years. Like,
welcome back to that memory.
I was never an asshole, but I was just stupid.
Yeah,
like most of the characters in this series, unless you're Risa,
stupid
because
teenagers.
Risa is smart and should not be fucked with.
Risa didn't feel like another teenager. She felt like the teacher's assistant or something.
An adult woman.
She was a full adult.
Which, fun fact, the creator of this also has another anime called and manga called Paradise Kiss or something. Yeah.
Yep.
And it actually reuses a lot of the characters from the series in their adult forms.
Yeah, I read it that too, and I was like, that's really cool. And also, I know that Paradise Kiss is really successful. So
Yeah. And it's like Reese is like an adult mom in it now, but she's still like a goth rocker, like having a good time.
Amazing.
I was like looking photos for like of Reese because I wanted to see some of her fashion in the series later in the episodes. And I was like, oh, this character looks like them and is named after them, but they're an adult, like an adult. And I was like, oh, my God, it is them.
Which I mean, like, yeah, that's cool. Like sometimes as a writer, you want to explore these different stories in a different direction. So I mean, if it's the content, if you can make content out of it, do it. I say that's also like a cult favorite of ours from the 90s reboot when they took Enzo and what was the other girl's name?
Andrea.
And they became like sexy adult pirates.
Bro, I will tell you what. When I was like watching that show, I was like, yeah, they're cool. And then they like go and they become adults because of all the shit that went down. And I was like, oh, damn, Enzo's a badass. And then Andrea walked out and I was like, this is shaping my brain.
Bottom of the table gets hit. Yeah, there we go.
Anyways, back to the actual series at hand here. Neighborhood Story. So the intro and outro song to this are great little ditties.
They're so fun.
The lyrics are fun. The music is fun. Fun fact, Makiko's voice actor actually sings the song and is apparently a multi-album artist, has like 10 plus albums.
Good for her.
I guess she signed on to be like a Japanese idol in the 90s and was like, you know what? I don't want to do this shit. I want to be a voice actor and be on my own and record stuff. So she dropped her agency and just became like a solo recording artist and voice actor.
I feel like you would have more agency over like your body and your look and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, Japanese idols, especially in the 90s, it was like you weren't, even if you had a partner, they were not allowed to exist. No one could know. It was preferable if you were actually single so that people could lust after you. It was crazy.
The
music's great. The facial expressions in the animation, the fashion, the scenery, it's all really well done.
Oh my gosh, I love the fashion in the show. I would venture even to go as far as saying that like Risa and Makiko are like more of style icons than I think Sakura or Bulma were.
Oh, absolutely. Because like good Bulma fashion came from like non-canon articles and like, you know, fun little extra drawings here and there.
Press releases or whatever.
Yeah, and Sakura's outfits were just battle outfits. Well, they were great. Mm-hmm. They weren't everyday fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And these characters come out with like, you know, our goth queen Risa comes out with like dope goth outfits continuously. Makiko is rocking something, you know, new or making something new all the time. But they're like things that I feel people would actually wear in the 90s.
Absolutely. And they felt very well styled. You know, there wasn't anything that felt like it was trying too hard. Like it felt like the characters were wearing the clothes and the clothes weren't wearing the characters. If that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. The fashion really took a hold of this series. And I'm sure further on we'll see way more of it.
Oh, absolutely. And even if you look at the other work of Yazawa, like everything, she's known for just having like very fashionable and stylish characters.
Oh, I don't doubt. The things I've looked up have been quite quite fashion forward, and not just like, hi, I'm an anime guy in a t-shirt and jeans.
I'm wearing a school Star Wars outfit. Christmas sweater.
Hey, shut up.
It's great. I don't have a Christmas sweater, and I went to go to Value Village to find one, and there were none.
I'm probably gonna have to take it off soon because I'm roasting alive.
Yeah, that's fair. The like fake acrylic poly is not very breathable. That's weird.
Yeah, well, shut up.
I know.
Speaking on the fashion, obviously my fashion in junior high and high school was not paired up with Makiko or Tsurumu. I definitely aligned with Risa because I was rocking that all black chains, spikes and studs, colored hair, leopard print, mohawks, all that jazz. If I saw this series as a teenager, I would have looked at Risa and been like, my queen, my love, my goddess.
Please tell me what to do.
Yeah. Anyways, as an adult, I was like, nah, she's pretty chill.
I want to be Risa.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would love to be Risa.
Yeah.
Now, this series isn't super popular in the mainstream.
Yeah.
Even like review wise on like my anime list, it only had like a couple thousand reviews.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have a very dedicated fan base.
I was going to say, on IMDb, there's only 86 reviews of it.
But I think that's about to change, especially for the manga.
Oh, yeah. Did you see what I saw? I feel like we saw the same article.
Did you see it today?
No, I saw it yesterday about Viz.
I, Yeah, they literally like, hey, on December 5th, we've released the official English version of the manga.
Yeah, which, I saw that too. And I was like, are the Google like ads just really targeted?
Well, mine wasn't even an ad. It was just a casual Twitter post.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like finalizing my notes and it was like, hey, motherfucker, guess what's relevant? Which is kind of cool. This episode just happened to be coming out at this time because we didn't know.
No, not at all. That was not planned at all. So that's really cool. And I'm a little bit like, maybe I'll buy them. I would like to read them.
Well, the first one is going to be free on Viz if you just make a Viz account. Just so you can kind of like get a preview of it. And then, yeah, obviously you can buy them after that. But yeah, it's coming out as a full actual English release version of the manga for the first time ever. All right, let's get back on fucking track here for those that actually want to hear about the first few episodes of this series and get into the episode breakdown, starting with episode one. I can't stop thinking of him.
Such a teenage girl title.
Oh my gosh, is it ever. The series starts with a dramatic showing of ketchup being placed on eggs, only to be comically revealed as it's a boy's face being drawn as Mikako shoves the rest of these eggs into her mouth and sends a voice message to her friend saying that she just swallowed him whole, which leaves him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it leaves him to assume that she had a nasty dream about him.
I know. I was like, phrasing.
These two live in the exact same building, so they head off to school. And as they're leaving, a neighbor is like, oh, he uses the word intimate, but I think that the translation of that doesn't mean like intimate. I just think it means like they're a couple.
Yeah, I agree.
So he's like, ooh, you guys are being intimate as usual. And Mikako's like, excuse me, with this yard ape? And Tsutomu is like, with this circus midget? And the neighbor insists, no, you are. You're in love.
Yeah, you just wait. You'll figure it out.
And then they yell and they wake up the entire place and they all start yelling at them for waking them up so early. The first occurrence of my favorite trope of the season happens, which is when Makiko yells, warp! And then teleports off screen. And then it quickly like pans over and it just shows her running really fast away down the road.
Oh my gosh, I loved that so much. And then like the people afterwards reacting and being like, she just runs away.
They're like, what do you mean so warp good. She's just running away. But it like it does like an anime lines. She like fades out of existence as if she's actually like teleporting away.
Yeah, like in her mind, like this is what it looks like.
When I first saw that, I was like, oh, these kids have powers. And then 2 seconds later, and when it pans over, I was like, oh, you motherfuckers. That's
oh my gosh,
good.
It's so funny. I loved
that.
It
is comedy.
Yeah.
Anyways, so they get on the train, they're heading to school. All of a sudden, Tsutomu is being chased by a mob of adoring fans because, as it turns out, he is dressed and apparently looks exactly like this new famous singer. Like,
yeah,
identical.
The Harry Styles.
Basically, yeah, he looks like the Harry Styles of the 90s universe.
Yeah.
And so they get chased, they get chased, they get chased. They finally make it to school. And this is where we were introduced to a girl named Mariko, who is known as Nice Body Co.
Oh, yep. Yep.
She is Miss Popular, and she instantly starts flirting with Tsutomu. And then we kind of cut to the inside of the school where they're discussing how much he looks like this famous guy. They're like, well, no, he literally looks so much like her.
They just took a drawing. They just took a drawing, and they just like use the same one.
And this is where we obviously get introduced to Risa, the emo goth punk queen of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, he is like pretty close. She, being Makiko, is very annoyed with this. And so everyone just starts ripping into her and being like, oh, you're totally in love with him. That's why you're so worried and annoyed that all these girls are like all into him. Ooh, me. You know, high schoolers are making fun of
I'm
you
like-
for...
Which, like, as a, like, being a girl who was 16, nothing pissed me off more than when people are like, oh, no, you, like, when something made me mad, and people are like, oh, no, you just, like, really like them. And I was like, I will slap a bitch.
Well, to stop her from slapping a bitch, she warps away again. And, of course, we get the people being like, what the fuck is she doing?
She's just running away.
And in this running away, we get an internal monologue of how she likes him, but she's not sure it's that type of like. Like, oh my God, we grew up together. There's no way someone you grew up beside and spend all this time with could in any way be someone you might be interested in.
Yeah, exactly. And like trying to figure out these different facets of relationships and romantic relationships and things like that. It's all very complicated, especially when you're 16 and you're just like blatantly told from the time that you were born, like... You're a girl and you have to be captivating for boys and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah. So she eventually gets to class and she's like sewing really fast because she's annoyed. There's like this flame around her, like, I'm going hard. And she like makes this piece of fashion and everyone's like, ooh, ah, so pretty. And the teacher comes up and is like, oh, it's very nice looking. Let me examine it closer.
Which and is, then, having been in fashion school, that is the worst. You're like, no, look at it from the outside. Don't look too close.
And that makes sense because as soon as she gets up close to it, she is like, oh my God, this sewing quality is terrible. This shit's horrible. Oh my God, what are you doing with this? This is garbage.
Please stay after school. We need to talk. We need to help you.
I need to help you here. And like this scene is so great, and it kind of adds to where it shows the comedic timing with audio and visual gags, because she's like, this is terrible, and she like bends slightly more over the table and this, and then instantly a little gong and bends over more, and like the sweat drop animations and like the sinking face just keep increasing with every single thing.
It's incredible.
And I love that.
Well, and the funny thing is, like, I bet you anything, if you looked at the inside of the garment, it was like, oh well, this seam is a 16th off. Like, I bet you it's something little like that, because that was my biggest annoyance in fashion school, was like, you kind of swerved out a 16th of an inch here and it's not super straight. And it was just like, okay, cool, but it's as straight as I am, so it's fine.
So school ends and Makiko heads home only to happen upon Tsurumu getting a kiss from fashion lady Mariko.
Ooh, Miss Body.
Which sends Makiko into a rage. She slaps him and warps away. And then Tsurumu catches up with her at a calm and quiet bar where the bartender's like, oh my God, you can't keep coming here. This is a bar. Please stop coming here.
Oh my God.
But they're not listening.
No, they're like, we don't care. Just, we just want orange juice.
They're just throwing insults at each other and drinking orange juice.
Yep.
And so Makiko is going to leave. Her head goes to leave while Tsurumu's in the bathroom. And the bartender's like, look, don't worry about the orange juice. I got you. It's all good. When Tsurumu comes out and is like, oh, where's Makiko? The bartender's like, uh-uh, you ain't leaving, bro. Sit the fuck down.
You sit down. We're going to have a chat about women and respecting them.
And this is where we have a conversation where we learn his red lipstick GF actually has a college boyfriend and he's just her boy toy. And the bartender's like, you idiot. You should be with Makiko. And he's like, no, what are you talking about? What you're talking about? Man, I'm a dumb boy. And then we cut to Makiko in the park feeding a kitten that I guess she feeds regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, she's in the rain with
it's
this
so
kitten
sweet
and she's
under a little tunnel.
And then she falls asleep, which makes everyone freak out because she's not home. And the landlord points to a poster he just put up that the police give him that says, look out for gropers.
I know, which I was like, wow, just a poster being like, warning, groper in area.
Yeah. And so everyone freaks out and goes looking for it. But Tsurumu has a memory of when she ran away. Well, actually, they're both having this memory at the same time. When she ran away 4 years ago and goes to this park and she's crying and he comes and gets her. And so he goes to the same park. And as before he gets there, though, there's a shadow of a man approaching her looking menacing.
Just some like horror just sprinkled in there.
And he like knocks this dude fucking out, like clean out.
Oh,
and
yeah. Just
like, I got you. Yeah, and it turns out it was just the neighbor that was
the landlord guy
that was just trying to help her.
And then they're like, whoa, you're the groper? And he's like, no!
No! Oh my God, you told us where you were going. I just happened to get here first because I'm an adult with a car. My God.
Oh,
your 90s
man.
Scooter will
it.
Only take you so far, young man.
Right, your tiny little shitty Vespa.
And so... we end on a moment where she like apologizes for hitting him and we kind of fade out. And like, all right, strong first episode. We kind of get an introduction to characters. We get an introduction to the dynamic between the two of them. We get a lot of comedic moments. I was like, you know what? Okay. I think think I'm going to enjoy this. Let's continue on. And so I did with episode 2, titled Just a Childhood Friend. Because no, I don't have feelings for this boy. Why would you even suggest that?
No, never. I grew up with him.
Of course not. I don't think of him constantly. How dare you think I have feelings for him?
And I'm not frustrated about this because he's starting to get attention from another girl and is taking attention away from me.
Yeah, how dare you assume that? So we open up and Makiko is trying to name the kitchen that she found the other night. And she's going through all these names. And then Sudomu walks in and is like, oh, hey, Arisa. And Makiko's like, how dare you name it Arisa? Its name is going to be Kuro. The cat seems to agree. It meows all cute like.
The cat's like, yes, this is my name.
And then we get a flashback to the previous night where they're trying to convince the landlord to let her keep the cat. And he's like, no way. Those are the rules. I'm a rule follower. I don't back down. How dare you assume that I'm going to change my rules for one little cute cat? And then her mother, who I can only assume this landlord is also in love with, is like, oh, how I love cats, too. It would be so nice to have someone else in the home when you're not around, Makiko. And then the landlord starts crying and is like, okay, fine.
You can forget have the your pet cat. Deposit.
It's all good.
We'll amend your lease.
Speaking of her mother, it turns out that she's a mangaka.
Which is
a manga artist.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. And she is constantly working late to hit deadlines because every morning she is always asleep and dead and Makiko leaves her food. Which is really nice of her.
Well, and I've been that artist where it's like, okay, I've got a deadline and I got to get all this illustration stuff done. Like, you know, you just kind of, once you get into that groove, you just kind of are like, oh, it's 4 a.m. I should probably go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. So the two kids head to school and Sudomu is gifted a love letter from a girl from a school for debutantes at the train station.
Ooh, which is like, wow, a debutante school. Like, is those a real thing?
Probably in the 90s in Japan. I don't know.
Man.
But they're only doing this because he looks like the famous guy. If they actually knew
him, don't give a shit about him.
They would run so hard. Because he's just another, immature boy. But anyways, so we're at the school. The goth queen is spitting facts about Makiko totally being into Sudomu. And P-chan, her other friend, which again, love the name.
Mm-hmm. P-chan.
P-chan, such a cute name.
Oh, man.
Asks if her mother could sign a copy of her manga because it just got released.
Just fan. Because
apparently, her mother does a very popular manga. So she's like, yeah, of course, I'll get her to sign it, no problem. And then P-chan is like, it made me cry. It's so emotional, which causes Mariko to have an existential crisis.
She's just in this awkward moment where you're stuck in a conversation and you don't want to be rude, but you're also like, I don't want to be here. This is weird.
Well, she's like, what do you mean? What about this is emotional? And then she has this crisis. She's like, is it only emotional for other people and not me because I struggle with love and I'm totally not in love with Sudomu and no one will ever love me? And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, whoa, girl, chill out.
You were thinking way too hard at this.
Yeah, and so it cuts hard to Sudomu and his friends, which are the worst friends.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible. But I mean, what teenage boy doesn't have terrible friends?
They're just using him, especially now that he's, having interest shown at him from Mariko, or a.k.a. Bodyko, which, again, terrible nickname. Don't call
people that. So terrible. So terrible.
And so he's reading the letter from this girl and they're like, there's no way a girl like this would ever be into you. But then I guess the other girl's also into you. Hey, speaking of which, that date that we're supposed to have, it better happen tonight. Because I guess he's supposed to hook them up with the S girls, which I'm assuming stands for super girls.
Ooh.
And he's like, do I have to be there? Because it turns out he made plans to go buy cat stuff with Makiko. And just want to cancel those plans. And they're like, yeah, you have to be there. You might get to go all the way with Mariko. And then he goes, don't waste your life playing house with Makiko if you're not dating, right? Have some fun. And Sudomu.
Oh, teenage boys.
A little shit. He's like, but I made plans with her. what do I do? What do I do? I like her, right? And then proceeds to cancel on her like 100%. A little shit.
He's like, you know what? We'll just, yeah, but I can maybe touch a girl's boobs.
He promised. And he went right? back on that promise.
And he promised first before this.
Mm-hmm. And then he has the nerve to be annoyed when she gets mad at you when you say right? you have to cancel the plans.
I was like, are you like gaslighting her? Like, what are you doing? You're not being a good friend.
Hey,
you look, clearly you know don't care about her feelings.
Makiko is clearly upset. And in comes punk queen Risa to steal her away and say, oh, she's got period pains. I'm going to go take her to the nurse to like
Which
save
I was, like,
her from
solid
like...
girl move.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great, like, that is a great friend.
Yeah. Saves her from like being embarrassed in front of these people and crying. Not that there's anything wrong with crying.
No, but sometimes when you're
when you're in junior high, you don't want to cry in front of your whole class.
Yeah. Because teenagers are ruthless and they will hold that against you forever.
Yeah. And so she talks to her and she's like, look, no matter what you think about this guy, you like him. You love him even. It is so obvious. And Makiko doesn't like this at all.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, fuck this. You're wrong. You're wrong. So
you don't know me.
Yeah. And so we jump over to like the boy group going on their date with the S girls. I will call them the L boys because they are loser boys.
Mm.
And thankfully, you know, even when they're having a bit of a good time doing karaoke, the S girls are not into his L boys at all. They're all
no.
into him, which is anyways.
I know.
So
they were like hoping to get scraps and they're like, nope, we're not even getting those.
And so the boys are like, hey, leave these girls with us. Go with Mariko. You go and get some action if you do that. Mm-mm-mm-mm. So
yeah, boy,
he goes to hang out with her, but he feels bad. So he sends a voice message apologizing because he felt bad and he thought that she might be crying. But nah, bitch, surprise. She's with her cool friends who don't make her sad.
Oh,
she's walking
she
along, having
be...
a good time.
You think that she would just spend her night like pining for you and like being waiting for you to come and make her day better and light up her life, but no, bitch, she has friends and girls supporting girls.
With Risa around, you ain't got no reason to be sad, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Her music might be sad, but she ain't. So, fuck boy. My note here exactly is, fuck boy and only wants to date him because he looks famous, but wait, does she actually like him or what are girls doing anyways? Or on their date.
Yep.
And she's all, hey, that girl isn't your girlfriend. And my current boyfriend's actually a bit of a turd. Let's officially date, okay?
Just kind of like entraps him. It's like, bah!
Yeah. Thankfully, Sudomu is like, whoa, hold on. This is going faster. And then has it in a monologue of like, this girl's cool and I like her, but I don't love her. Which clearly is him referencing his love for Makiko. Oh, well. So he's like, I don't know. I just, let's chill.
Yeah, let's
I'm
take
not
this
sure.
slow. I'm not, that's really fast.
And then it cuts to his friends talking to him, and it turns out his friends fucked up their date so bad, they won't even say what's going on. They're like, nope, we don't want to talk about the S girls. Don't worry about us. And then we get this intense moment where he sees Makiko, and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry about yesterday. She's all, nah, fuck you. Which, of course, being teenagers and having emotions, and like you said earlier, when someone says fuck you, no matter how good you're trying to be, you instantly will become an asshole.
Yeah, just no emotional regulation.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, you know what? Fine. What a turnoff. You'll never have a boyfriend. And then
oh,
she's
man.
All, excuse me?
Yeah,
why
so
would
if
I
you want to
one?
Piss off a teenage girl in the 90s.
Yeah. But
that
she holds
is
it
the number one way to do it.
She holds it pretty strong. She's like, nah, fuck you. Why would I need a boyfriend? And then he runs off. Then we kind of fade out for a little bit.
Yeah, we have this like freeze frame of them going different directions, being angry.
Yeah. Exactly. And so the episode kind of ends with like her friends being like, you have to apologize to him. And she makes a scene where she's like, he said he couldn't keep his promises to me and he keeps placing everyone else above me. Why would I try to keep trying for that? And you know what? That's fair.
Fair. Point made.
If you go, hey, next time you promise something, can you keep your promise? The person goes, why would I ever be able to do that? Promises are meant to be broken. Fuck them. Leave. Ditch him.
Yep.
Get the fuck out of there.
Put your energy elsewhere.
They ain't worth your time. Exactly.
Nope. If he don't love you anymore, then walk your finest out the door is our Lord and Savior Lizzo said.
Exactly. And so then we cut to a scene where they're both like emotionally thinking of each other. And like there's a lot of flashbacks and they're like just in their brains. But then Fashion Girl comes up to Tsurumu and is like, hey, are we dating or what, bro? And he's like, you know what? I'm angry. I'm upset. Oh, heck yeah. Let's go.
Which I'm like, that's always the hallmark of a good relationship. When it starts with you accepting this relationship out of spite.
And like, I get that emotion as a teen sucks. But the difference is that he's not just being stupid. He's being stubborn. He knows what he's supposed to do. And he's not doing it. It's different if you don't know or you're lost. You don't understand. You're confused. He fucking knows.
Oh, he absolutely knows.
So that brings us into our third and final episode called A Nice Body Dough.
Like, I love all these titles so much. I'm wondering if I like them more than the Samurai Pizza Cats titles.
All right. We open up on Makiko sewing in her room, thinking back on what happened the previous afternoon. Which causes her to like drift off and fuck up on her sewing project.
Yeah, so just like now, rage sewing and then disassociating and then being like, ah!
I have a question.
Okay.
At home, she's sewing with a handheld sewing machine.
Yes.
In class, when her teacher's not looking, she starts sewing with a handheld sewing machine. Are those somehow better or is she just stuck with using something she's used to?
No, I think because the thing is like, I don't even know if those are really like, I've never used one. I've seen them as like buttonhole makers, but I've never seen them to sew like actual straight lines. So I have no idea, but I also am pretty sure that they would not be as good as like using an actual sewing machine.
Okay. So she's just being like, this is my preferred tool.
Yeah. But it's like, it's not going to do the same job. I think the engineering behind those is like doing stuff on the fly. So, you know, you're like on set in the middle of, you know, the backwoods of Alberta and you're like, oh, someone ripped the crotch of their pants. Let me just quickly like zip this.
Yeah.
I mean, even
then
I think you would just like get them a different pair of pants from the truck. Anyways, yes.
I was just curious about that. Anyways, so she doesn't sleep a wink and she finds her mom has also not slept a wink because for once her mom is awake.
She's like, whoa, I'm not used to seeing you at breakfast.
And it turns out that her mom has writer's block.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I'm like, look, if you're writing a love story, just ask your daughter because she's embroiled in all sorts of bullshit right now. I'm sure you can get tons of things from her to write on.
Here's good parenting. Talk to your child and then exploit that for your stories.
Yeah, exactly. And so Makiko's confused where this like fancy cat food came from that the cat's eating and is annoyed that her mom is letting the cat eat out of a bowl on the table.
Which I was like, that is the first time I would ever see a teenager doing that. Like, I thought it would have been flipped.
And this is actually a bit where I feel bad about harping on Tsurumu so much, because it turns out that in the morning, she had left with her friends instead of him, and he obviously showed up to meet up with her to go to school, but she obviously wasn't there. But it turns out he also left a bunch of cat food, cat toys, treats, and an apology letter for her. So while he's still being an annoying, dumb fuckboy, it feels like less direct stupidity and more just like poor emotional response that he's at least kind of picked up on and he was trying to do a bit of the right thing. And then he got yelled at and then he lost all sense of trying to do the right thing. So my emotions of him are like all over the fucking place.
Like I am empathetic to the like roller coaster that he is on. But I'm also like, just talk to each other.
Speaking of poor emotional response, Makiko's mom, who's used to having breakfast made for her, was like, hey, do you think you can make some breakfast? And Makiko, feeling bad and emotionally stressed, is like, what the fuck, you idiot? Can you not cook for yourself? Oh my god, you're so dumb. And the mom's like, oh my god, why?
She's like, I have writer's block and now my teenager hates me and there's a cat that I can't let eat on the table that I bought.
And it's like, damn, girl, chill.
I know.
Which she promptly does, because she goes and soaks her face in water and begins to feel bad for like being a wiener. And so she goes to apologize to Tsurumu, and she's let in by his mom. He is currently sleeping. She's used to this. So she goes into his room and she finds a porno mag on his
table. I love this part.
And she's like flipping through it like, oh my gosh,
This is not the censored version.
And so it's full of blondes. And I have a feeling that later in the series, she's going to go blonde.
She does.
I fucking knew it. As soon as that happened, I was like, she's going to go blonde. I fucking know it. He wakes up and she's like, oh my God, what is this? And he's like, oh my God, no, stop looking at my shit. And so
which
they go
mean,
to have
fair.
Breakfast. Yeah, that's very fair.
Don't but come so in my house have... while I'm sleeping and stare at my shit.
So they go to have breakfast together, which he's confused by because he's like, aren't we fighting?
Yeah, he's like, I thought you hated me.
And she's like,
because I just
don't
like rage dated a girl because I was mad at you.
But, oh, this little snitch.
Oh, yeah.
She looks at the mom and is like, hey, your son has a nudie mag that isn't pixelated and is full of blonde women. And the mom, being chill as fuck, is like, huh, you like blondes? Wow, you're just like your father. Must be genetics.
Oh my gosh, this part was hilarious.
And it like pans to the dad, and the dad's like sitting there, like slowly pulling the newspaper down, just like dead faced, like,
don't bring me into this.
Yeah, don't bring me into this, please. I cackled at that. I thought that was so fucking funny.
Was so funny. But loved it.
What they're getting at when they say not pixelated and full of blondes is it's an American porno mag.
Oh.
These are
it's
American
an
women.
Yeah.
Exactly. So. Anyways,
into the 90s. This stuff's hard to get.
Usually you have to go to a forest that everyone keeps it in and shares it. And
wait, what?
You don't know about this?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I had
this
iPod
is a,
Touch.
This is before that. I'm
I
older
didn't
than
have
you.
To earn my porn.
There used to be a thing where to keep your parents from finding it, kids would like, I used to think this was a movie trope, but it turns out it's like a thing people I know would do. Where you'd like take your adult content and like hide it in the nearby woods. And we had a forest near where I lived, and my friends had like a rock they would keep stuff under in like a little plastic Tupperware. And you would go and you'd look through the magazine, then you'd put it back, and the next kid would go later and like look at the magazine. Yeah, it's a real fucking thing that people do.
Wow, community.
Yeah.
Look what kids can do when they put their minds together.
Anyways, moving on from that, Makiko apologizes. Tsutomu apologizes. They have this nice little moment. He says, hey, you know what? Let's go shopping. I'll show you where that cat food is I got that the cat really loves. And then lo and fucking behold, his girlfriend calls, and Tsutomu was like, hold on, motherfucker, I gotta take this call.
Yeah, I just promised and made up for ditching you, but I'm about to just do that all over again.
Well, like, he picks up the phone and she's like, I need you to come over right away. Please, please, please. And yeah, right after apologizing and making these fucking plans, he's like, whoops, BRB, I'll be back at noon.
Oh.
And I gotta go see this girl. Oh, by the way, she's my girlfriend. Bye. And leaves. Yeah.
Just deuces.
What a motherfucking
what a tease.
Move.
What an asshole. Like, I mean, what happens next is also, oh my gosh. Like,
I'm sure we're gonna have some things to say about this.
Oh, so, I bet you we are.
So he gets to her house and this motherfucker is like, why are you here?
This bitch.
Oh, I totally forgot I called you. Well, come in, let's watch a movie.
I hate it so much. Like, how arrogant and like self-serving do you have to be?
Mm-hmm. Well, it
oh
turns
my
out
gosh.
She's super fucking rich because she lives alone because her parents were like, would you like to live closer to high school? Here, we bought you a house to live in.
That feels not like a good parenting tip.
Anyways, so he finds this photo of her on like the side of the table and he's like, wow, you look really different. Ooh, who's this guy? Is this your first love?
Ooh.
He's like, oh, your hair looks different too. And she's like, it was dye back then. My current hair is natural, I swear. He's like, oh, no wonder you look different. Even right now you look different. You're not wearing as much makeup or any makeup. And she panics and she's like,
yeah,
oh my
like,
God,
this triggers
oh my God.
Something in her.
You didn't put any makeup on. And she's like, starts putting all this makeup on. And I was like, okay, buddy, choose your next words carefully.
Yes, be very
careful.
Because
my opinion of you
careful.
Is about to go one way or another. And he goes, she's panicking. She's putting on makeup. And he goes, hold on.
She's
hold
like,
on,
oh no,
on.
I can't believe I let anybody see my disaster yeah. face without makeup on.
And he was like, hey, stop. Don't worry about it. I like you without makeup too. It literally doesn't matter. And I was like, oh boy, you said the right fucking thing.
Oh, thank goodness. You did one thing right.
Yeah. And so I guess they hang for a little bit. And okay, this next scene makes me kind of sad for Mariko because.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're
Tsutomu,
talking about.
goes to leave, and she's like, why are you leaving? You don't want to fool around? And he goes, whoa, don't make it sound so cold and businesslike. And she goes, well, then why did you come over? And he goes, you asked me to. And she has this like existential crisis of, wait, really? You didn't just come over to fool around with me? That's all anyone ever does. They just come over because they know that they'll fool around with me. You came over before I asked.
Heartbreaking.
No other motive. And then she goes, what are you, gay? Which, that part annoyed me.
I know, but again, was like, it's the 90s. I get it.
Oh my gosh. Which is a bullshit line. But anyways.
Will and Grace wasn't out yet.
Yes. And I was like, but then he was like, no, I was legitimately worried because you called me and were like, I need you over here right now. She has this crisis. She's like, oh my God, someone actually just wanted to hang out with me. I'm worth more than just my body. I'm more than just body co. And I was just like,
yeah, you're just like, oh girl. Oh, I'm so sorry that this is how you've been treated and you've been led to like believe that you're only good for one thing. Oh my gosh, it's heartbreaking. Well, and she's a teenager too. Like, oh my gosh, like literally all she's been told all of her life is that she's only good for like her physical appearance and what her body can provide to other people. And it's just like, oh.
People call her body co to her face.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That is not cool. It's fine to think someone's super hot and super attractive, but don't objectify them to the point where that's all they fucking are.
Well, yeah, and like remember that they are a whole person.
A whole ass person. They're not just a whole ass. They're a whole ass fucking person.
It's true. There's an inside. Oh gosh, that could also be wrong.
Ooh.
There's a whole emotional gambit of these people. Like,
they have brains and emotions. We all do.
Mad. And it's just like, it's this complex that has kind of been delivered into her head. Like, it's just kind of, I know that it's limiting her in like what she can accomplish and what she can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely putting it in her a box, and it's so sad.
It is. Yeah, that was like a little moment where I had to kind of step back and I was like, damn, bro, that's sad. I feel so bad. But anyway, the episode ends with Sotomu making it back to Makiko just a little bit after noon, as he had said. And Makiko was like, hey, so what did she want? And this dumb motherfucker looks at her and says, already taken care of. And she goes, that sounds shady. Yeah, no shit. That's what he wanted it to sound like. He's toying with your emotions, girl.
Ugh, don't toy with her emotions, especially after you've just majorly fucked up.
I don't understand this guy. He like messes with his best friend. Then he doesn't take advantage of a girl that was going to let him. And then he plays it on like he did have some fooling around going on to make this other girl annoyed. It's like, bro. Oh, it's so rage inducing.
Be respectful of women. All women.
So they go to the market anyways, and she just starts giving it to him. She's like, she will never be serious about you. She's playing games with you. And then Sotomu is like, hey, I know. That's kind of what it felt like originally, too. But right now, I'm not so sure. I think she's more than that. She isn't just this strange popular girl that, okay, stop judging people. She has emotions. She has more to her than just being body co. And I'm like, damn, bro. Okay. You're not wrong there.
Yeah.
I don't understand you because you keep going all over the fucking place. You're progressing, then you're regressing. It's two steps forward, one step back consistently. Sometimes two steps back, one step forward. But like, damn, bro. And it just kind of ends with them yelling at each other in this alley or this aisle.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that maybe it is that kind of childish response of like immediately like over correcting, you know? So it's like people are like, oh, you like this person. And so like to be like, no, I don't. And then so it's like they go the other direction where it's like they get to the point where it's just like putting them down.
Oh, it's 100% that. These people, especially Sotomu, has no control on their emotions whatsoever, which again, they're teenagers. I get it.
They have.
If you're a teenager watching this show, it might actually be a good way to learn how to not.
Yeah. And like to see these relationships and the complexity of them from like an objective point of view, and then kind of take those messages and themes, etc., and like
learn from
maybe
it.
Start to see, yeah, and apply them into your own life and stuff like that.
And that's,
I don't know, that's just me.
No, that's actually my takeaway from this series. There's a lot of stuff that frustrated me with how the characters interacted, but it was probably just because it was so realistic in the way that teenagers actually interact.
Yeah, I remember having a lot of these kind of experiences when I was that age. So it was, I liked that they presented these ideas and these topics, but in a way that isn't like a cheesy infomercial training video or whatever. Like felt natural. It felt organic.
Exactly. And I think that if I had seen this show as a teenager, it probably would have helped me. I was pretty good. I'll be honest. I was pretty good with my emotions, with stuff. I had my dumb moments like I had mentioned, but overall, thanks to like having a really good sister, I was able to like, you know, have a better footing. But I know for certain if I saw this as a kid, I would have been able to identify certain traits and been like, hey, hold the fuck up. That's not so good. we don't chill the fuck out here for a second. So I think if you are, even as an adult, if you're someone, actually preferably for children, if you are watching this, listening to this, which, hello, this is an adult rated podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have said a lot of things that are not for children.
As the intro warning says, thanks for being cool and chill. But if you're watching this and you were younger, or listening, sorry, and you're younger, take a watch of this show and kind of like compare it to how you interact with stuff and see how you can use it to interact with those around you better. And if you're an adult and you have been watching this show, let us know in the comments if you agree that you have similar experiences in your childhood and teen years that happened in this show. Because I can guarantee 95% of you probably did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I guess that like kind of naturally brings us into the next part of our episode of like, how would you rate this series or whatever? Like, how did you, what did you like about this series and how would you rate it?
If I get rid of my annoyances that are like external, just being like, ugh, because it's things that are actually too realistic. If I actually look at it, I like as a piece of media, as a whole, I liked it. I think it's fun. I think it's unique. The art style is also really fun. If I had to give it a rating out of 10, I'd probably give it like a, if 5 is like neutral, I'd probably give this like a, give a 6.5.
Okay. Yeah, I very much liked the series. And I think it like, something I thought about while I was watching it is like, would I recommend this to other people? And I think I would, especially,
yeah.
Like, I don't mean to be like, hello, fellow youths, but I think teenagers today would, like, I would recommend this to a teenager, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I would. But with a caveat of, like, I'm giving this to you so that you can learn your mistakes from it and not adapt it as your personality.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like, also
as long
just,
as you give it that way.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the fashion of it is really fun. I don't know. I like that it's, like, fashionable, dealing with, like, boys in relationships, but it's not doing it in a stereotypical sense. Like, there is that depth in the different conversations that are going on.
It is an anime that actually is realistic in things.
Yeah.
So realistic. Like, I had things as a kid where I would, like, when she yells warp and, like, runs away, I did like that as a kid.
100%. 100%. I could tell you all the dumb shit I did as a teenager that I thought was funny.
Yeah. I would recommend it. A 6.5 seems low, but I would recommend it. I'm actually curious. I'm going to pull it up here what it's listed at on
On IMDb, it's got a rating of 8.1.
On MAL, it's got a rating of 7.62.
Okay.
So someone's going to be mad that I gave it a 6.5, but I need to come in with a caveat that I still think it's a really great series that I would recommend to people. It just didn't blow me away because it's not my usual genre and it got a little too close to actual real emotion, which is a good thing, but also a bad thing. I don't know.
I can't disassociate while watching this.
I just realized I've been swearing so much this episode, which makes me laugh because when my dad kind of listened to an episode, he was like, I was going to show it to the family when I was hanging out with them, like our older family. And he was like, but I turned it on to listen in the car over and you were just like, fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'll try and swear less.
And then this episode happened.
And I've done decently, but this episode I've swore a lot.
Oh, man.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, it happens to the best of us. Yeah, well, that was Neighborhood Stories. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had some fun going back to being a teenager, or even just liked the fashion of this show. But either way, we're happy you're here. And yeah, if you want, please like and subscribe to our podcast. And if you would be so lovely as to rate us 5 stars, we would love that very much. You can find us on every social media platform as @Animates. So hell, give us a like there, and you'll get more, I don't know, funny videos or just weird tweets of what me and Mac talk about when we're planning episodes. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff.
Fuck yeah.
Heck yeah.
We'll see you next week for a very special holiday episode.
Ooh, holiday. Holiday.
All right, well.
He just ran away.